Hey Dreamers, Joe here, and I want to tell you about my upcoming book release. It's called 31 Life-Changing Concepts, and I want to give it away to all of you for free right now. All you have to do is go to howtodream.co/book and download the PDF format. The only thing I ask is that when it comes out, you review the book on Amazon, as well as download it for free in the first 5 days. On the same page, howtodream.co/book, which is my Disney music mashup, I've posted the brand new video for Adventuratorium. So please check it out and let me know what you think. Thank you for all your love and support.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Jonathan Milligan, who is making his dreams come true by being an author, blogger, speaker, and a career coach. Glad to have you on the show, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for having me, Joe.
No problem. I really appreciate you getting back to me and wanting to be on the show after reading your awesome article about Walt Disney.
Yeah, I read a 600-page biography and loved every minute of it. I was inspired by Walt Disney and his belief in pursuing his dream. And there was just some stories in there that really stood out to me. And so that's what kind of pushed me to write about it.
Now, you're actually from Florida and a Disney fan yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm about 2.5 hours north of Orlando. Got a wife, 2 kids. We love to go down there every chance we get.
What's your favorite aspect of Disney?
Every time I go down to Disney and anywhere I go, I try to look for the little details, the little things. Because if you just go once and you're in a hurry and you're trying to get everything in, you miss so much. I know my kids, now that we've been to the park several times, they love looking for the hidden Mickeys. I mean, that is what excites them. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're in the lobby of one of the hotels or we're on a ride. I think I rode Pirates of the Caribbean 8 times in a row with my 10-year-old because we were looking for hidden Mickeys.
You know, I had Steve Barrett, the guy who wrote the Hidden Mickey book, on the show before.
Oh, cool.
He's a great guy, and it's awesome that he got, you know, he gets to live his dream out of being an author and having his book in Disney World.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, Jonathan, why don't we get started by giving some background about yourself?
Sure. Well, when I graduated from college, I started as a high school teacher, and I taught high school for about 3 years, and both my parents were educators. I thought that might be what I do in life because I love to teach. But I found that it wasn't the right context for me. So I went on my own journey to pursue a dream of mine and to also find out what was my unique gift that I could add value to the world out there in some way. And so it was a journey for me. But today I get to live my dream of working from home and impacting lives of other people and get to do it full time.
It never crossed your mind to have like a full time day job?
You know, I was always one who probably never bought into the 9-to-5, you know, and there's people who do it and that's fine. But for me, my personality is one of variety. I have an entrepreneurial side to me. And so I always wanted to pursue something that I had the ability to control my time, control the when, where, and how of my work, decide what it was I wanted to spend my time doing. And so for me, it's always been a different pursuit when it comes to employment than probably what most people, the route that they take.
So at what age did you get started with your entrepreneurial track?
Yeah, so when I was about 22 years of age, 22, 23, somewhere in there, I started looking at different options. I was still teaching high school at that time. And then when I got to the age of about 26, I decided not to renew my contract in my case, I had to let my principal know in the spring that I wasn't going to be returning in the fall. And we still got paid up until the fall, but I told them I'm not coming back. And I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I knew that I was going to figure it out. And I knew that it wanted to be something entrepreneurial. And so I started, actually took a call center job at night while, so I could have my days free to pursue whatever entrepreneurial thing that I wanted to pursue. But the struggle for me was I spent so much time learning and researching that I never took a step towards my dream. And finally, I remember one night I was having a conversation with a coworker in the parking lot, 10:30 at night, after one of my shifts in the call center, and I told him, I'm just ready to go fail at something. I had researched and looked at so many options, and yet I had zero action. I wasn't going after my dream. I wasn't going after any dream. I was scared. And I told him, I finally got to that place. I was ready to go fail at something. And that was a pivotal time for me, because from then on, I was more about action. And it was almost like it released me from the pain of failing. That the pain of not going after my dreams was much greater than the pain of trying and failing. And that was the moment when I look back where things began to change for me, because now I was ready.
And how long did it take you for you to come to that realization?
Oh man, that was probably a good 9-10 months of, you know, spending my days. My wife was a elementary teacher, and we had one child and another child on the way. And, you know, that's an unnerving time for a guy. You're a family man. You want to provide for your family. You know, I was doing the call center job at night. I was missing them during the day and at night. Finally, after about 9 or 10 months of that, you know, reading the books, reading every kind of option, I finally jumped in and started down that path.
One of the things on my journey has been people, they come to me and they say, well, Joe, you're, you know, how much money have you made? And I'm like, well, if I was in school, the first question you'd be asking me is not, Joe, how much money have you made in school?
Right.
And I firmly believe it takes time to realize these things. What path do you want to do? Especially if you never really thought to yourself, like, hey, what is it that I really want to do? We put ourselves on these paths, but we don't really know until you get there. And it's like you got to the point where, hey, you know, I don't want to teach. At least not in the manner that I'm doing it, or in the time frame that I'm doing it. And I want to control more of my life. But that doesn't mean that you automatically wake up one morning and know, oh man, okay, this is the path that I have to take now. I got to get on this. And what was your family's reaction through all this? And like, I mean, 10 months, I mean, that's, man, it took me 3 or 4 months to figure out my path. And even then I'm still figuring it out, but it seems like they're starting to come around to the idea. What about for you?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's so much easier to put the pieces together looking backwards than it is looking forward. And like what I'm doing today, I would never have imagined when I was in a classroom as a high school teacher. Because this whole world of blogging and earning income online and in writing, you talk about, you know, a dream that I put on the shelf, it was writing. I had a professor my freshman year in college. I took a creative writing class, and it was the first class I had taken that I was actually really energized about. It was just fascinating to me. And yet she crushed my dreams. I mean, she said flat out, this writing thing's not for you. And literally I set that on the shelf for 15 years until 2009, when I picked it back up. I realized I gave way too much power to one person's opinion about my dream. And I began to write. Now, when I first started writing, it was blogging. It was just little writing, a little bit of sharing. But the more I did it, the more energized I got from it. And it's just continued to grow to what it is today, which is doing it full time.
Oh, man. Giving power to somebody to tell you that they know more than you, and they probably barely even knew what a blog or anything was, or had the mm-hmm. vision to understand. I mean, that's something I always come back to, is nobody else has the vision that you have. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's like sometimes you got to beat people into submission with your vision, to not even just get respect, but to just be able to validate yourself, unfortunately. That's really a shame that you shelved it for so long.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Joe, where it's like I didn't even know that I had done it. I knew I kind of gave up on it then, but it was actually in the process of reading the biography of Walt Disney and writing that article about the day they laughed at Walt Disney for his dream that I went, wait a second, I had a similar kind of experience here, and I realized how much I had put it on the shelf and just left it alone when I shouldn't have.
You know, it's funny. I actually just had a similar experience where I had to realize to myself, like, hey, I had to get comfortable with my dream to the point where I didn't feel embarrassed to tell other people about it, you know, and be like, hey, you know what I want my job to be? I want my job to be Joe Pardo. That's my job, to just to do what Joe Pardo does. And you know what? It sounds crazy to me to say that. It sounds crazy for me to even think to even tell somebody else that that's what my where I'm headed. But it's like I'm to the point now where it's like this is it. This is what the goal is. I don't know if it's going to work. I you know, who knows? But it's just funny that we have to overcome what other people think because other people have given up on their dreams.
Yeah, totally. And I have felt the same way, even with my own family members. You know, I've got brothers and sisters-in-laws, and for a while there, it was like I had a hard time trying to explain them what I was doing, you know, because I was concerned about, are they thinking, you know, Jonathan's doing this crazy thing, and, you know, my poor sister or my poor sister-in-law is going to be broke or, you know, put groceries on their doorstep, you know, and it's just like the people who are, if you're doing something not normal, they can't, a lot of the people can't get their mind around that. And that's why you have to come to the place where you accept that not everyone's going to understand your dream and that you have to believe in your dream even when others don't. And that's so important for us. And the one thing that has energized me more now than ever is for me to focus on those that are waiting for my dream to become a reality. Because at the heart of what I want to do is help more people and inspire more people. And if I put my focus on helping and inspiring people, that pushes me forward. And then it's not so much about me, but it's about all the people that I'm going to help too. Because there's people waiting for me to pursue my dream. Joe, there's people waiting for you to pursue your dream because they need to be inspired by you and they need to be helped by you. And if you don't do it, they may be left uninspired and their dreams don't become reality.
That sounds like a pretty vicious cycle. You know, it's tough to find that empowerment inside of yourself, especially if you have certain people in your life that don't believe in you. I mean, how was like your parents? How did they take it? Like, oh, you're quitting your job. Awesome. What are you going to do? You know, what about a pension? What about food?
You know, it's funny. I've always said, you know, my mom would be happy and cheerful no matter what I told her I was doing. I mean, that's just how she is. She is the cheerleader in the stands, almost to the point that you wonder if there's any reality to her. Do you have any criticism? I mean, there's something that I can do because everything's just rosy and wonderful and you're excited no matter what I pursue. But I think you do need to have people who do catch your dream and that you can, if you can surround yourself with other dream catchers, you know, we were talking about Walt Disney and I was amazed reading in that biography that especially very, very early on, he had these animators who were working nights, weekends. Sometimes they're working without pay, but it's like they got wrapped up in Disney's dream. I mean, they were there. Now, eventually it came back around to them being, you know, all that hard work paid off for them. But there was a period of time when they're trying to get going and they're living off the vision and they were there supporting Disney very early on. And that's exciting. I've got people that are like that for me. One of them is a mastermind group of people that I meet with on a regular basis, that they are those that pick me up when I feel down, or they push me when I need to be pushed, or they cause me to take action when I need to take action. And you got to have some of those people in your life too.
You know, I mean, Steve Jobs is a master at that as well, basically creating a cult around, you know, the Macintosh and the Lisa computer. And, you know, I doubt that either one of them felt guilty about the fact that they were pulling people in nights, weekends, like ridiculous days, and probably making almost no money at the time, or not nearly enough money to, you know, pay for what they were doing. But to believe in something so much and have other people believe in you, it is an amazing, amazing feeling. And I've been fortunate enough to have that experience a few times with growing success in that department. Unfortunately, it doesn't pay bills.
But it can. Those connections, those people, they can help you as you move forward. You know, everyone's growing, and they can make a connection with somebody you don't know, and you just never know what could happen.
Yeah, definitely. So then what was your first failure that you steam forward ahead to hit?
Well, the first thing that I was going to do was I was really looking at real estate investment, and I thought that might be what I wanted to do. And I figured, well, if we're going to do this, we need to do it. And so actually, when I made that statement, I'm ready to fail, I would say probably within 90 days, I had a home under contract that needs some fixing up to do, and bought it for, I think it was around $60,000, $65,000, fixed it up, put about 12 into it. And within 90 days from that, earned $12,000 from it. It was a great thing for me to take action on something and actually get the money back and make some money. But then I didn't know what I wanted to do from there. I didn't think real estate was what I wanted to do. Even though it was entrepreneurial and I controlled my own time, that wasn't the right fit for me. So I actually found a gentleman who was starting up a executive search firm for accounting and finance professionals. And funny thing is, Joe, I have no accounting background, zero. And the guy said, you know, hey, if you can bring your $12,000, I don't have a salary for you. It's 100% commission, but you'll earn a good percentage of these executive placements if you'll jump in and join me with this. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. It sounded entrepreneurial enough. I mean, 100% commission, you can't get any more entrepreneurial than that. So I jumped in and I actually did that for 7 years. And it was great. You know, there was elements to that that I really enjoyed, but I still wasn't sure if I'd found the right fit. And that's when blogging came about. I decided to start a blog to share career advice. And quickly, I began to have people contact me from different places. Hey, I love this article, like that article. Hey, I want some advice. And so I just kept sharing more and more and doing more writing. And then I created an online course. And then I created a Kindle book. And then created more courses, and then it just kept growing from there until I have, of course, the two blogs that earn my full-time income now today.
So what year was the real estate deal?
Yeah. So the real estate deal would have been in 2002.
When it was still bubbling up.
Yeah. No doubt. And so then I started about 2002, 2003, I started doing the executive search firm, and then I did that for about 7 years. And then there was some overlap there. In 2009 is when I started blogging. 2011 is when I decided to move into that full time. And so that's what I am doing today.
Wow. You know, it's hard to imagine that you could go from, you know, making a pretty decent salary, placing people in careers, to just writing about it and making, sure, close to the same amount of money, or else you wouldn't have decided to take it full time.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised by that too. When I actually started blogging, I only knew of three ways to earn income with my blog, and two of them took my time. Basically trading time for dollars. So I knew I could get people to pay me to work on the resume. I knew I could probably get people to want to do some coaching over the phone and pay me for my time. And then I knew of AdSense, Google AdSense, where you can earn some money clicking around. But at the same time, I didn't know. So I just kept pursuing it. And by the time 2011 came around, I'd actually had 12 different income buckets from blogs, from different things that I had discovered. And so that kept building from there. And my favorite is to create your own products, whether it's a book or whether it is an online course, a membership site, those for me have been worth my while and probably been where I earn most of my income today is from my own products.
Now, where did most of the experience come from to gain that knowledge of like feeling like, hey, I can offer, you know, this type of information? Was that because of your career placement career?
Well, that's where, yeah, basically, and that's why I said sometimes things make connections when you look back, because I didn't hate teaching, because today what I'm doing is I'm teaching, but I'm doing it under my own terms. I'm not locked into a classroom for 8 hours a day. I'm teaching, but I'm doing it under my own terms. And so that teaching aspect, plus the experience I had living out the career coaching, the career placement, marry those together. And that's where my very first course was a course about the job search. And so I created a 16-week video course on called Job Search Mastermind and put it out there for people to buy, and people started buying it. It just started growing from there. And then once I figured out how to earn income blogging, that's where I started my second blog in 2011 called Blogging Your Passion, where I could help other people learn how to take something that they're passionate about and take a passionate idea and turn it into a profitable business. And so we have a university over there. We walk people through showing them the steps of how to grow, whether it's a blog, a podcast, or if you're a video blogger, all the principles are the same.
Now, Jonathan, when you make a sale from any of your products, do you get an email every time there's a sale?
Yeah, I do.
Isn't that one of the best feelings ever?
Absolutely.
Does it get old? Because I still love getting it. And I don't get a whole lot of sales from my stuff. But when I get it, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Like, somebody thought enough of me to, like, you know, spend money on me.
Absolutely. I mean, it is the most incredible thing. And that's that very first course I talked about. I remember when I put it out there for sale. And I was like, I don't know if anybody's going to buy this. And I had about 10 to 15 people buy it over the weekend that I released it. And two of those people were from Australia. And I thought, that is the coolest thing. I mean, this thing is, I mean, that just energized me. Even though I only made a few hundred bucks at that moment, I was like, okay, this thing is, it didn't happen overnight. I always tell people it takes longer than you think. But if you build it and you keep at it, it'll continue to grow. And it's been true. Every year I've been in this, it's gotten better each year.
That's phenomenal. I loved, especially when I would get sales from people I knew that I didn't know.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest roadblock for you since going out onto your own and blogging, podcasting, writing books, and just being Jonathan Milligan?
I think it's something that I teach in my university that I believe in, because it's something that was a roadblock for me. And that's our mindset. Our mindset holds us back. We have the fear of not being good enough that holds us back. We have a lack of confidence that we actually have something that someone else would actually pay money for. We see what other people are doing, and we have this this comparison trap where we see other people are already doing this, so there's no room for me. And we just have all these things that keep us from moving forward toward our dream and all that's happening between our two ears. And I use this example a lot. I mean, think about somebody who you would consider to be really successful, you know, on some type of an online business person. If they had everything wiped away today and they had to start over again, they would get to success twice as fast. Not because they're smart, but because they've been there and their mindset doesn't hold them back. And I think that's what happens for us, is we need resilience, we need confidence, we need passion behind what we do, we need to have some patience, and we need to be consistent. And if we can measure our activity instead of our results in the beginning, it really helps us to keep plodding forward. I tell people, we teach something called the brick by brick philosophy, and that's that it doesn't happen overnight, but it's going to happen over time, because every podcast episode you record, every blog post you write, every video you create is laying another brick in a foundation that's going to continue to build year after year, and it keeps growing. It's not like this stuff that we do goes away and no one can come across it. No, I have people that come across old blog posts all the time. I have people that will send me an email about an old podcast. I'm sure you do, about podcast episodes that, you know, were released months ago that actually decide to listen to. And so this thing that we're working on is building and growing. It's not that we have to have success overnight. It's built over time.
Yeah. You know what it is? I think some people get blinded by these stories about people who, you know, had the flash in the pan success over, like, literally overnight. I mean, overnight successes take 7 to 10 years, sometimes longer. But I mean, like, literally, he's like, oh, we put up a website. Next thing we know, we're at $100,000 in sales by the end of the week. And it's like, whoa, how did that happen? Like, how did nobody knew that that was going to be the result? We were just like, hey, if we do this, maybe we'll sell a couple, or maybe, you know, somebody will find it and like it. I mean, same with like viral videos and stuff like that. You get blinded by this idea that's like, oh man, you know, it must be so easy. But then when you don't have that initial, like, boom, why, you know, I put my stuff out there and why isn't it blowing up all of a sudden? Why am I not getting that kind of attention? It can take a long time for people to notice.
Yeah, absolutely. We see those overnight successes and we immediately think that, you know, I actually wrote about this in the book I have coming out. One of the myths that we think is, if this works, I'll be an instant success. And then when it doesn't, we want to quit. We want to give up. We look at these exceptions and we make them the rule. And we think that that's the way it works. And the truth is, there are a lot of people out there who have built their own business. People who've gone after their own dream. And it took a while to build. And that's the majority of them. But the minority is the one that gets the attention. Because the rules tell us that's going to take longer than we think. But we don't want to listen to that. The rules tell us that we have to work really, really hard for it, but we don't want to listen to that because we'd rather we want to be an exception. But we can't change the rules. The rules are what they are. And the rules tell us that success is more of a marathon than it is a sprint, but we don't want to listen to that. You know, we want that instant success. And I know because I've been there and I've had thoughts of, oh man, this is the thing. I know that this next product I release, you know, this is going to be the big thing. And for me, it's just been slowly plodding over time and building and growing. And that's just the way it's happened for me.
Yeah, I've been there before thinking, oh man, this is going to be it. But you know, the beautiful thing is, like you said, it's the brick by brick. So when somebody finds, you know, if 10 people find me for the next thing that I go out and do, and 10 people find me for the thing after that, and after that, and after that, and they come along for the ride, before you know it, they're going to tell 2 people. And eventually it's when those people way down the line find out about me. It's like, oh man, look at all the stuff that he's already got. He's already been doing all this crazy stuff. Why haven't I heard about it? And then, you know, if you're lucky, you'll get that kind of support. But I mean, even people that get flash in the pan, like if you look at viral videos online and then look at the other videos that that person has on, say, on YouTube, it's like nowhere near, you know, they might have 10 million views on one video, but every other video is less than 10,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. And that's all it is. And they might have a big following, but it was just that one video that happened to be big. You know, or a small following, and every other video, just nobody was interested. They clicked play. They said, oh, that's funny. Ha ha. And they moved on to the next thing. So in a lot of ways, you don't really want to be that viral success because it doesn't necessarily equate to anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why for me, you know, I tell especially those that are online business people that are pursuing that as their dream, to build that email list, because that you build that slowly over time and it's going to help you as opposed to getting a spike in traffic. I remember when I wasn't building an email list, I got this huge spike in traffic because the Lifehacker picked up a blog post I'd written. And I mean, it was 10,000 plus people in one day. I mean, it was a huge spike for me, especially when I was only a year into blogging. And I thought, oh man, this is so awesome. I finally made it. And then it was like, a couple of days later, it kind of hit me. These people are just coming and going. You know, if I don't have anything for sale and if I don't have any way to capture an email address, it's just a web page hit. That's all it is. And so you got to be smarter about it. You know, it's not always just the volume or the blog traffic. It's about how you're going to grow this thing, how you're going to build fans and followers.
Those spikes suck because when you try to look at your stats, you got like this one thing and everything else looks like, man, I'm not doing anything. And you could still have like 200-400 hits a day and wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looks like nothing. So, Jonathan, what was your childhood dream growing up?
You know, one thing I wanted to do, I grew up in Indiana, so I wanted to play sports. And so basketball was a passion of mine. But I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. They asked me a similar question just in a normal conversation. And it made me think about something that I hadn't thought about in a long time. I remember as a kid during the summers, one of the things I wanted to do was put together, and I used pieces of paper, pieces of notebook paper, fold them in half. And then I would like cut pictures out and try to create my own magazine. Like I was literally trying to create my own articles and writing and crafting my own articles in this crazy little magazine that I was doing as a kid and putting it together. I didn't know who I was going to sell it to, but like those are the first indications of me looking back now that I had something in me about wanting to write or produce some type of content or put something together that somebody else could read. And that was just fascinating to me and intriguing. So I would say sports, but then also that creative writing aspect. And then my grandfather always had a hardware store. He had a couple hardware stores. And so I loved learning the business side of how you make money when someone buys a product, how you make money and how that works, that whole business side. So that for me is what I remember growing up.
You know, it's funny how we do sometimes wind up getting back to what we wanted, but it's not until we really think about it that it's like, oh, in retrospect, hey, I did kind of end up doing what I was setting out to do when I was a kid. So what are your future... So what do your dreams for the future look like?
You know, I want to continue this path of trying to share the stuff that I'm learning. One of the projects that I'm most passionate about is a book that I have that I'm working on. It's called The Gift. It's actually one of those business fiction fable type books where, you know, you follow the story of this guy. He's in his 30s. He actually lives in New York. He has a wife and kids, but he's doing this career that he's not really all that passionate about. He actually ends up losing his job with the recession. And now he's on this journey to figure out what is it that makes me come alive. And I've called it The Gift. And the tagline to it is what you have that the richest man can't buy. I think for me, our dreams are wrapped up inside of our gift, not because our gift is for us to consume amongst ourselves, but when we use our gifts, we have the opportunity to serve others at our highest capacity. And so when you're doing your gift, Joe, and when I'm leaning into my gift, we are enriching other people's lives. We're inspiring other people. We're helping people take action when we lean into those. And we come fully alive in the relationships. The family members around us need us to live and be fully alive. And that comes in finding your gift. And so this book is a journey where you follow this person's story. He has a guide who comes into his life. It's actually his grandfather, who was very successful and begins teaching him some of the principles of going on that journey to discover his gift. So that is like something that I'm working on right now. I'm hoping to come out probably in the next year. The other thing is just I have a book coming out right now, probably out by the time this episode goes live, called The 15 Success Traits of Pro Bloggers. And it is a book that kind of distills 4 years of research into, people always say, well, how do you become a full-time blogger? You know, what does that look like? And so I have kind of put it together into 15 success traits that it's a roadmap that anybody can use and follow so they can follow the steps. Like we said earlier, it doesn't happen overnight, but this is something that you can build to over time. Go after your dream if that's what it is.
I mean, that's one of the great things about blogging is it can fit into so many categories of things that people would want it to be about, because people want to read about everything and anything. I mean, there might only be a small subsect of people who want to do it, but there's still somebody out there. And I think that's really great, because I think that has a really broad mass appeal for a lot of people, even if it's just as a hobby. I mean, to get, you know, to buy a book and just, you know, I'm sure it's probably, is it a long book?
Yeah, it's about 42,000 words. So, you know, your traditional book is 50,000. So it's going to be in Kindle only format first. And then within a month, it's going to be available in paperback as well. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So before we plug all your websites and how people can connect with you, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah, I would just say those that are listening to this podcast, not just this episode, but in general, are people who are at least thinking about going after their dreams, or they think there's something missing in their life. I would say, I am so glad that I took the leap. And even though I didn't know where I was going, and even though I had to take it one step at a time, and even though success didn't happen for me overnight, I'm so glad I took the journey. Maybe you need to come to that moment where you say, okay, I'm not renewing my contract for teaching next year, even though I don't know what I'm going to do. Or maybe you need to say, I'm ready to go fail at something. And it's scary for us. It's scary for us to say that and to go there. But it's one of those things sometimes where the saying that sometimes when you take the leap, the net appears. And so for us, we have to get out of just learning and analyzing, and we got to take action. And when you begin to take those steps of action, things begin to open up.
Yeah, because, you know, the path isn't always very clear for what you want to do. I know when I was ready to leave my family's business, it was like, I'm gonna go try to get involved in the sports world, and then I'm gonna try and go and do this and do this, and none of it really panned out. Though what happened was I made friends with people who were doing that stuff, and I realized like, oh yeah, that's really not what I want to be doing at all.
Yeah.
So it did help to at least do that. And in a lot of ways, that was my failure, was failing forward into realizing, hey, this isn't for me, and this isn't what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. So could you plug all your websites and let people know how they can connect with you?
Sure. Well, my original blog is jonathanmilligan.com. And there I talk a lot about discovering your gift, self-productivity, time management, those kind of things. Some of my original career articles are on there as well. And then the other one is bloggingyourpassion.com. And that is all about, if you are a podcaster, blogger, or video blogger, doesn't matter. If you're creating content on a regular basis, this blog is to help you take something you're passionate about and turn it into a profitable business. And so we have a university over there, with several hundred students in there on a regular basis that are pursuing their dream of taking their passion and turning it into a business that they want to grow.
Awesome. Well, I'll have those in the show notes at howtodream.co. Jonathan, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And I, like I said, I've been listening to your podcast, told you that before you even reached out to me. So I was excited about being on this podcast. I think you got a great message. And like I said before, a lot of fun, interesting guests. So good job.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I'm glad I could add you to my list of guests now.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's definitely been a fun and interesting ride. At this point, a year. It's coming up soon. So it's pretty exciting. Have a pretty big event planned for that I hope that you could partake in with the online portion of it.
Awesome. Let me know.
We'll definitely get together on that soon.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Well, thank you again, Jonathan. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I really appreciate you listening to Dreamers Podcast. If you'd like to find out how to support the show, please visit howtodream.co/support for all the ways you can help out. Thanks for the support, and please keep on dreaming.